Welcome to a playoff edition of Gridiron Gurus. I'm Evan Crawley alongside Travis Lazarsik. And Travis, this week we're going to start off in the PTCB, the big game. Number 4 Mount Blue hosting number 5 Coney.
Yeah, these teams played, you know, almost 2 months ago back in week one. Mount Blue took a 20-6 win. Of course, they all know that Reed Shostak, Coney's best player, didn't play in that game. He had injured his elbow in the preseason and missed that week. And really, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, he has added a new dimension to the Coney running game. You think of Coney in the last few years as primarily a pass-oriented offense, but Shostak going over 200 yards a couple times in the run game has really given them a new dimension.
I've seen two of the last 3 games for Coney. I didn't see the game up at Hampden. But, you know, the last 2 weeks, he has run like, you know, a man possessed. Yeah. I think he put it as, you know, he's running for his life. It's not like he's running to get to the end zone. He's just running, and that's all he's doing. He almost went for 200 against Skowhegan. He went for a career-high 252 this past week against Gardner. Obviously, a huge difference in that offense.
Right.
And having seen them play the first game up at Mount Blue when Coney traveled there, not only is Shostak going to be a huge factor at running back and linebacker, he's really a dynamic defensive player as well.
Sure.
The biggest thing is Taylor Heath looks much more comfortable in this offense. That first week he threw a couple interceptions. The line was a mess at that point. Heath was, you know, the best part about Taylor Heath that game was he was scrambling and keeping plays alive with his legs. He hasn't had to do that quite as much because the offensive line play has gotten much better over these last, I guess 2 months now that we're here.
Yeah, I saw them, Coney, the following week when they went to Messalonskee and pulled off a big win, and Taylor Heath looked really strong that game. Just 1 week, the progressions he had made were really impressive. He's got a great receiver in Anthony Brunell, so it'll be interesting to see if they, you know, throw it a little more than they have in the last couple weeks or just keep giving it to Shostak.
I think they can go either way. Look out for Nigel Davis, too. He's come on of late. He had some fumble issues earlier in the year, but he's been really strong lately. And the big thing about this is between Brunell and Davis, they've got a bit of a security blanket there, where if Heath gets into trouble, he can throw it up there, and they go, both of them go 6'3", 6'4". They're big wide receivers. They can go up and go get the ball.
Yeah.
Going into the pick for this game, Travis, I like Coney to pull the upset.
Yeah, I picked Mount Blue in a close game. I'm just thinking the Cougars have, you know, they've lost two in a row, but they were to Brunswick and Skowhegan, who ended up being the number 1 and 2 seeds respectively in the league, and both were close games.
Yeah.
The Cougars at times, really last week, particularly against Skowhegan and a little bit against Brunswick the week before, just moved the ball really well. Quarterback Ryan Pratt looked poised and confident in the pocket, and Nate Pratt Holt, you know, could be one of the best receivers in the league. I just think the Cougars got to get him involved more in the offense, whether it's in the passing game, running game. He's just a dynamic athlete, state champion in the triple jump. So he can do a lot of good things for them on both sides of the ball. It'll be neat to see who he matches up with, you know, when he plays safety in terms of Coney's passing game. And Christian Whitney, he's got, four interceptions in the Mount Blue secondary as well.
Well, yeah, I'll be interesting to see what Coney does against Pratt Holt as well. I get the feeling they might throw somebody like Lucas Tyler at him. Obviously, it's been, for everybody associated with the Coney football family, it's been a tough week. Lucas Tyler's mother passed away last Friday morning of the Coney Gardner game, but Lucas went out and played that night and had an interception in the game. And the team has really rallied around him and that of, obviously, that day too, Ben Lucas's mother, a former Coney quarterback, passed away that day. So this team is, and I talked to Coach Lipp the other day, they've really emphasized family of late, and obviously our condolences go out to both the families and Coney football. But, you know, I'm looking specifically, Lucas Tyler's a tough kid, and he's a kid who can maybe match up with Nate Pratt Holt. BL said he's their best cover corner, and they give him safety help over the top with somebody like Brunell or Davis or one of those bigger guys who can slide over and knock away a pass when they try to go vertical with Pratt Holt.
I think we both agree it's going to be a good game.
Yes, absolutely, Travis.
Let's move on. We have another game in the Pine Tree Conference Class B on Friday night. We have number 6 Lawrence playing at number 3 Brewer. Lawrence 4-4. Really, this is kind of the surprise of the second half of the season. The Bulldogs started 0-4 and at times just didn't look good. They had trouble running the ball against everybody, just couldn't get the offense going. Played some good teams tough, but just couldn't find a groove. Brewer is 7-1 and has really been one of the strongest teams in the league all season. Their one loss coming at Skowhegan. And Lawrence coach John Hersham did say, you know, they got their work cut out for them with, you know, Brewer quarterback Logan Rogerson, who can run or throw, running back Dylan Severance, who was second in the league in rushing to Will Bessie down at Brunswick. So it's going to be a tough matchup for the Bulldogs, I think.
Travis, how much has Braden Ballard's development as a sophomore quarterback helped Lawrence to get to where they are, having won four straight?
Oh, it's helped tremendously. They've since Braden's come along and gotten better each week, they've been able to spread out the offense a little more. They have one of the best weapons in the league in senior Seth Powers, who's been, you know, good catching the ball all season. And in the last half of the regular season, he started to run the ball and he's become kind of just a overall utility threat for the Bulldogs. They've been able to move the ball more with the development of Braden Ballard, just, you know, another kid who's looking more confident each week.
And it seems like that's allowed them to be able to use Powers a little bit more effectively too. Obviously, they look to throw the ball to him, but they've also run a couple jet sweep looks and a couple running back looks to him as well.
Yeah, he's a tough matchup for anybody. You know, he's just a big, strong, fast kid and a possible Division I player in the future. And, you know, we'll see what kind of things Brewer can do to try to slow him down, because that's going to be key.
Yeah. Looking in C North, Travis, great story this week on Madison's running back.
Running back Nick Morales, a junior for the Bulldogs. He's a kid he's the first 1,000-yard runner Madison's had since 2010, which, you know, in high school, teams, you know, like to run a lot. You know, it's rare for a school to go that long without a 1,000-yard runner. Morales was, as a eighth grader in 2013, his family suffered a devastating house fire, lost their home, lost all their possessions. And when I talked to him this week, he said he plays a lot for the town of Madison, that stepped up and helped out, made sure that he and his siblings had, you know, food and clothes and were able to keep going. And he said, you know, every time he runs and scores a touchdown, it's just a try to be a little thank you to the people of Madison.
Now, obviously, when you get somebody who's running for more than just themselves, that makes them very dangerous. But can Foxcroft knock off Madison at home this week?
Well, Foxcroft lost to Madison in week 2 of the regular season, 33-12. But as Coach Scott Franzosi of Madison said, this is a completely different Foxcroft team. They were still kind of numb from losing their star quarterback, Hunter Smith, to a season-ending injury in the preseason. They were still trying to figure out things. And with quarterback Nick Clawson's just continued to improve, and he's a running threat as well as a passing threat. Brandon Brock at running back, Zach Karen at running back and receiver. The Ponies won 3 of the last 4 games to even get in the playoffs. And Franzosi said, and I agree with him, this is a much better Foxcroft team that the Bulldogs are facing this time around. Madison's a pretty good team in their own right. That's why I pick them. I think with Morales, quarterback Chase Malloy, wide receiver Matt Curtis, Briar Edgerly in the backfield, yep, along with Morales, just a good team. It might be a shootout, but I think Madison pulls it out on a Saturday afternoon.
Yep, I've also got Madison, and we skipped that. I've got Brewer, by the way, winning at Lawrence.
Sure. I just think it's a tough matchup for the Bulldogs. Yeah. Good season to come back and make the playoffs. You know,
Another local team I'm taking Mount View over Holton. Obviously, the Mustangs have had a good year. This has been building since last year for what they've been able to put together this fall.
Yeah, the Mustangs have already tied the school record for wins in a regular season. They had 6 wins in 2011, the last and only other time they made the playoffs. That year they hosted a Foxcroft team in the Class C quarterfinals, lost 19-0. This year will be the first home playoff game at their school field. That game that they hosted a few years ago was at Larrabee Field down in Knox, about 5 miles from the school. That's where they had their home games while they were still building the new facility at the high school. So they're excited to actually host a game at Mount View High School in Thorndike. The winner of this game, no matter who it is, whether it's Holton or Mount View, will win their first ever playoff game, because Holton's only a second-year program. The Shire Towners went 4-4 this year. Really kind of turned some heads in the LTC as one of the up-and-coming programs. So it'll be neat to see which one gets to move on to Madden-on-Cook Academy. I also picked Mount View.
Yep. Now, that Coney-Mount Blue game was one I went back and forth on a lot. Another game I picked each team throughout the week before I settled on Winthrop-Monmouth was the Ramblers hosting Marinacook this week. They played a fantastic game earlier this season at Maxwell Field. When I talked to Gary Hawkins, who covered the game, he said the crowd there was as good as he's seen it in a long time. Yeah. The hill was full, and they were treated to a great game. Winthrop-Monmouth won on a pass from quarterback Matt Ingram to Ben Ames with 12 seconds left and a 17-14 win.
Right.
And the Ramblers are expecting another A, good game, and B, big crowd on Friday night, and recently caught up with Brendan Dunn, a senior lineman, on how they're getting ready for the game.
I know last time you guys played Marinacook, it was a really good crowd, and obviously it was homecoming, but you know, what was the atmosphere like that night?
It was intense, very intense. There's nothing like the hill filling up and just cheering on both sides. Good sportsmanship.
You know, obviously, right down the road, you expected another big crowd on Friday night.
Yeah. Playoff game, big rivalry, should be a big crowd, yeah.
What are you guys going to need to do to get a win against them?
Just execute better, focus better, a little less penalties, work harder.
What happened in Friday night's game? I know you guys were down a couple guys, but just an off night for you?
Yeah, I think we kind of took them for granted and just weren't really focused. Didn't have the greatest week of practice and came back to bite us.
Has that changed today?
Yeah, everyone's a lot more focused now. Everything's a lot more intense today. Getting really geared up. So,
How much pressure do they put on you guys as linemen, given the size that they have up front?
It's pretty good pressure, but we have a lot of big guys, and it's pretty even. But it's just executing the blocks.
Is this a game that's going to be won in the trenches?
Yeah. Yes. Hands down, yes.
Now, when I talked to Winthrop Monmouth coach Dave St. Hilaire this week, he said the player they're keying on the most is Marinacook quarterback Kyle Moran. He said he's their best player on offense when he's running the ball, and when they drop him down to defensive lineman, he's their best defensive player. And he's a player they're going to have to stop if they're going to be successful Friday night. But like I said, I think Winthrop Monmouth has just enough to overcome.
Yeah, I agree. I picked Winthrop Monmouth. They won a few close games in the regular season. I think that counts for something.
Yep.
And when you get into the playoffs, you're at home in front of a big crowd. I just like the Ramblers to move on.
Another game is a rematch of just last week. Oak Hill hosts Trape in the 1-8 game in Campbell Conference Class D. They just met last week in Kittery, a 32-6 win for the Raiders. This week they play in Wales. I don't give Trape much chance at all in this one.
No, Oak Hill, two-time defending state champions at home, 1-8 game. Everything points to the Raiders winning this game.
Now, I would say, you know, the biggest thing for them is get up early and stay healthy.
Exactly.
Well, that'll do it for this week's edition of Gridiron Gurus. We'll be back next week as the playoffs roll on. Be sure to check out centralmaine.com for plenty of great local sports coverage, not just football. We've got field hockey championships, soccer playoffs going on as well, cross-country championships. So we'll have you guys covered.
Thank you for listening.